Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to The Scraby Show. Joining us here on Tuesday night, our first Scraby Show of the week. Appreciate you all being here right now. If you want to watch on YouTube, you can. 97.3 The Fan. Just search that in YouTube. You can also go to Facebook for 97.3 The Fan. And you can also go to X, 97.3 The Fan SD, and you will be able to watch the show. If you want to listen to the show, it's on the Odyssey app as well. But we have a whole lot to talk about today and kind of nothing to talk about at the same time. But what we're going to talk about is the news of the day here in the first segment. I'm going to get some thoughts out. You know, I was just reflecting over the weekend about the Padres and where they're at in their season and all of that. So I wanted to share some of those thoughts that I was going through my head the other night when I was driving around town. And at the end of the show, we are going to do our daily gripe. Plus, Ben Higgins tweeted this earlier, and I thought it was hilarious. So a fan of the Cowboys is trying to find a new team because the Cowboys haven't won a playoff game in like 30 years. But he's trying to find a new team, and he chose a team that I just don't think he's going to feel comfortable with choosing later on. And I'll tell you what team that is. I think you could probably already guess which team it is. But we'll do that at the end of the hour. Now, not a lot of Padres news tonight. Not a lot of Padres news over the weekend, but there are some certain deals that I think that the Padres may be able to make here. And Bob Nightingale is kind of pushing along the trade Ha-Seong Kim crowd. They're getting louder, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I wanted to share some of the thoughts that I had over the weekend when I was driving around. I told everybody during Sammy and Scraby on Friday that one of my favorite things to do is just drive around. I think about everything. It's like my thinking time. And so I was thinking, you know, as the dust has now settled and we are moving on to the next year, it's kind of kicking into me about how much pressure was on the Padres the last couple seasons. And hey, I'm not saying that they're absolved of anything because they have a lot of pressure, because definitely, I mean, the professional baseball players, they had expectations. They did not reach those expectations. But there was a lot of pressure on the last couple years to win, especially with what we're seeing now in the payroll department with the Padres. And they went into the luxury tax 2 years in a row. The only way a team really goes into a luxury tax situation is if they believe that they have what it takes to win a World Series. And I know that the Padres definitely thought they had what it takes to win a World Series here, definitely at the beginning of last year. I mean, they still believe that they can win a World Series, but the last two seasons going over the luxury tax just tells me they were pushing all of their chips in. And so they came up short last year by not even making the playoffs, and that was a wasted opportunity. We talked about bites of the apple with Juan Soto last week. And so there was only one real successful playoff run with Juan Soto, and that was the NLCS. I know they only got two chances at it, but still, there were supposed to be three chances. And because of how poorly last year went and how the payroll went, Juan Soto had to be traded away before that third option. So I think, you know, going into the luxury tax 2 years in a row, I mean, if they even make the World Series, or not even win it, but make it. And if they did win it, I know this wouldn't be an issue, but if they didn't make, or if they made the World Series but didn't win, are they in this bind right now? Going all in, in the last 2 years and only have an NLCS to show for it is more than Padres fans have asked for in the past, but it's kind of tough. It's kind of put the team in a tough financial spot for the future, because if they were to go into this season in the luxury tax, that would be third year, they would be charged 50% on that tax, and that's just not something that many teams can do, if any. I mean, if the Dodgers aren't even willing to go into the third year of a luxury tax, then that should tell you everything you need to know about what's going on out there with teams and how they view that third year of the luxury tax. But the pressure has been on the Padres the last couple years, and I am not saying anything new to anyone, but I think that I'm now starting to realize how important these last two seasons were and how much these last two seasons are going to affect this season. The payroll is way down, and we're not seeing the signings that we wanted to see. especially when the season ended. I don't think anybody really thought that Juan Soto was going to be traded on the final day of the 2023 season, but less than 2 months later, he was on his way to New York to play with the Yankees. And now the team is kind of trying to find a way to be, I don't want to say mid-market, because they've proven that they're not a mid-market spender. They do spend a lot of money, and they're still spending a lot of money this year, but it seems like the money is not in a place where it can be. Yeah, it's not where a lot of people want the money to be. We could talk about the Xander Bogaerts contract. We could talk about the Jake Cronenworth contract. Maybe even the Manny Machado, the Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove. We can question all of those things, but I think this year is going to really test the Padres organization to see what they can do this year with I can't say it's not a full deck, because they still have lots of superstars on the team, but it's a deck of cards that has some missing, and the Padres are still needing to figure out what they're going to do in the outfield and also finish out this rotation. We talked about it a little bit earlier, and someone was saying that you should trade Ha-Seong Kim for Dylan Cease, maybe not straight up, but in like a package. If we're talking about money this year and value that comes with money, the Ha-Seong Kim contract of $8 million, I said it last Friday, I can't get it out of my head, because it's true. They are stealing him from the rest of baseball. And I just don't see how you trade Ha-Seong Kim knowing that he's number one a fan favorite, and knowing that this year he is getting paid less than what he should get paid. And so I think you have to take advantage of that, and I think you have to take advantage of what the Padres have in front of them, which is a cheaper contract with Ha-Seong Kim, because this is the final year, I believe, of his career with in Major League Baseball, that he's going to take anything less than a lot of money because of what he's seen around baseball. All these other owners and all these other teams are really spending a lot of money in the wrong places and really hurting all the teams that don't want to spend money anymore. And the Padres aren't one of those teams, but they have been this offseason. And so things have not gone to the place where we thought we would be here 3 years in to a big spending team, to a Manny Machado, a Fernando Tatis Jr., a Yu Darvish, a Joe Musgrove, a Xander Bogaerts. We're 1 year into Xander Bogaerts, but I really think the Padres expected to go a lot further in the playoffs than they did, maybe even win one. And last year was just such a major disappointment. And it really was a major disappointment. We talked about it all season long. We had World Series hopes here in San Diego. We had title hopes here in San Diego. We had at least playoff hopes here in San Diego, and they just didn't. They couldn't get to the playoffs last year. They ended up going over 500, but it doesn't matter when you're not in the playoffs. And we saw down the stretch the team kind of struggle a little bit until they caught fire at the end, but Manny Machado was injured. It had some other players that were injured. Joe Musgrove had been injured throughout the year. Yu Darvish had been injured. So last year was one of those years, I think, that people are going to remember as a forgettable year. Well, I guess you won't remember it if you're forgetting it. So I guess I have to take that back. I'll just say it's going to be a forgettable year, but it's going to be a year that Padres fans talk about forever. And if they win a title here in the next few years, then it goes away. But if it doesn't, and we start seeing a little bit of turnover in this team, then I think we're really going to feel like the Padres wasted their opportunity at winning a championship. And I really hope that's not the case, but you just don't see right now. You just don't really see the Padres, you don't feel the way you did the last couple years. And not to say this team is not going to be good, because last year we said it was too top heavy, way too many superstar contracts, and not enough additional players that are going to help even out the team. But this year, there's not as many, there weren't any superstar contracts given out, and there's going to be a lot of other new faces coming into the Padres that are going to need to find their way pretty quick, because there's no real time for them to adjust this year. They have to get out to a quick start, because if they don't get out to a quick start, I think everybody here is going to have a sigh of, here we go again. And so this season, even though it's a little bit different, even though it's a lot of bit different, I think there is major pressure on this team to at least make a deep playoff run. Because I think if you come at the end of this year and they don't make the playoffs, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more change. Maybe not the manager spot because they just hired him, but there's going to be change within maybe scouting. There's going to be change with AJ Preller. So this is a do or die season in my mind for the Padres and for all those people that are working for the Padres. And I hope we're not talking about this next October about how what's going to happen with the franchise. I hope we're talking about a team that's in the middle of a playoff run. And I do believe they could do that. They just need to have a lot of guys step up here in this coming season, in the 2024 season, for them to make the playoffs, even go further in the playoffs. And I think they can do it, but it's going to – I need to see it first. I definitely need to see it. All right, went a little bit longer than I thought on that one, but let's get into our news of the day for now. And what we're going to start with is the 2024 MLB International Free Agency. Now, the Padres, they were able to secure – the number one free agent in the international free agency pool, and that would be Leo Dallas DeVries. And so that makes the Padres 2 years in a row now. They have been able to sign the top international player. And we played a clip from Chris Kemp, who is the director of scouting for the Padres. And let me just play that real quick again for you, just to kind of get a little bit of a feel for what Leo Dallas DeVries is like. And here is what he told Ben and Woods this morning.
Two things are pretty simple. You know, at a young age in the tournaments, you know, near his hometown in Asheville and Bonney, it's just kind of the new hotbed for players in general. And as a, you know, kid that was 13, 14, 15, which is really loud, you know, on the circuit, national tournaments, you know, academy tournaments, and it was MVP trophy after MVP trophy, you know, grand peer group, you know, 15-year-old and 16-year-old guys, and he was just always coming up with the big hit and just was always kind of an impact dude.
And there's Chris Kemp saying he's kind of an impact dude, which I love, but he's definitely going to have to do it here coming up when he gets to the big league level. But, you know, it's never a bad thing to have great players in your organization, even if they're young and unproven. But, you know, the international scouting team for the Padres seems to be doing really well, and they seem to be making the right connections because they're able to sign the top players in the last 2 years, and Ethan Salas and Leo Dallas DeVries. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to do, or what he has to do, what he can do. Tony looked at his swing a little bit earlier, said he liked what he saw, but there's going to be major development with him. So that is our first story of the day, because it's a pretty big deal that the Padres were able to sign the number one prospect in all of the international free agent pool. They beat out all the other teams. So that's the number one. The number two news of the day, again, it's a little bit of a short news day, but NFL playoffs and the coaching carousel in the NFL playoffs. I like the Super Wild Card weekend like lineup, but what I really like is the divisional round. That's when you get the best games. That's when you get the teams that are supposed to be there. That's when you get games that are close. You have some of the best finishes in the playoffs history in the divisional round. And so I'm looking forward to this coming weekend. Now, in regards to the coaching changes around football, Bill Belichick has been relieved of his duties with the Patriots, as we know, but he has interviewed with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, my boss, Adam Klug, is probably not going to like that, but, I mean, if you're Bill Belichick, do you really have to interview? What are you interviewing for if you're Bill Belichick? Are they asking you questions in that interview? I'm sure that there's, like, philosophy questions and all that, but Bill Belichick really, really speaks for himself. His resume doesn't even need to be written, because you could go all over the internet and find out what Bill Belichick has done over the years. But I think if he goes to Atlanta, you know, I'm not real sure how he would do there. I'm not real sure how Bill Belichick would do elsewhere. I think that he is a good coach. I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but he hasn't won without Tom Brady. And so that's going to be his, that's going to be what's said after his name for a long time, unless he can prove that he can win without Tom Brady. They're going to say, oh yeah, remember Bill Belichick? Oh, he couldn't win without Tom Brady. That's what's always going to be said. So I think Bill Belichick's going to have a couple more interviews, but he is rumored to have interviewed with the Falcons. Also, Jim Harbaugh has been rumored to meet with the Chargers, the head of the Chargers front office. And I don't know where exactly that's going to go. To be honest, I don't know, because Jim Harbaugh was the head coach of the 49ers. And I know in the 4 years that he was there, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. He can be abrasive. I've never met him, but these are the things that I was hearing from their locker room and why he was fired, even though he was a very popular coach. But Jim Harbaugh seems to sometimes be a little bit difficult to deal with at times. So if the Chargers are willing to do that, I would say go ahead and sign Jim Harbaugh to be your coach. But I don't know that the Chargers can afford Jim Harbaugh. I don't know that the Chargers really can get out of their own way. And I know that's a mean thing to say for all you Chargers fans out there. But at the same time, I think you all know it's the same. It's the same Chargers organization that runs it, or the same leadership that runs the organization. So nothing changes in that way. All right, to our third news story. Like I said, news is slow, so I don't really have a third news story, but I will say that sources, we're going to go back. I'm looking. Oh, here's a news story. We talked about Patrick Mahomes' helmet breaking the other night, which I've never seen that happen before. I've never seen a helmet break during a game. But apparently the company that makes this helmet is trying to get out in front of this and saying, hey, everybody, this is exactly what is supposed to happen. So they said extreme conditions like those experienced in Saturday evening's NFL playoff game are bound to test the limits of even the highest performing products. The 0-2 helmet did its job of protecting Patrick Mahomes during a head-to-head impact during an unprecedented cold, during unprecedented cold temperatures, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I cannot believe that it was so cold. If it's so cold that a helmet is breaking during the game, then I think it's cold enough for the NFL to think about maybe postponing the game. Because you can't be messing with the helmets now. And Patrick Mahomes didn't even know his helmet was broken, but I think that that should tell us everything we need to know about the conditions that were Saturday night with Patrick Mahomes' helmet breaking. And the company saying it did its job. I don't really know if it's doing its job by breaking while he's wearing it during a game, but hey, I'm going to give it to the company. I'm trying to look for the company's name, but I guess it's V-I-C-I-S, Vicis, but it's called the 0-2 helmet. So if you want to look it up and see the picture of Patrick Mahomes and his broken helmet that they made him change, because I'm sure that he has more than one helmet, you can go online and look for that as well. All right, I know that was a really lame sports update, but that's what I'm working with today. So we are going to go forward now, and we're going to talk about some fun things. I want to talk about someone that the Padres, I think, should sign. And his name is Joey Votto, and I'll tell you why. Also, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on with Josh Hader. We've been kind of watching him here on the show, but we have a little bit of news here with Josh Hader. It's not like he's visiting with the team or anything, but I think he's not seeing the market that he really wanted to see. So we'll get to all of that as the Scraby Show goes along. Thanks for joining me online. If you have any comments, you can 833-288-0973. Give me a call. Or you can go on YouTube and you can type in 97.3 The Fan. See the Scraby Show broadcasting live. And you can ask questions there as well. So when we get back, we're going to be talking about Joey Votto. We're also going to be talking about Josh Hader in just about 5 minutes here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into the Scraby Show. I'm Matt Scraby on 97.3 The Fan. Going from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight. If you want to find me on social media, you can at Matt Scraby, MattSkraby, as in boy, Y. Excuse me. I had to cough. That's why I was silent there. All right. I'm all in this room by myself. So I had someone ask me recently about whether or not I'm actually in this room by myself. Yes, I am actually in this room by myself. And you can see it if you go to YouTube and go to 97.3 The Fan on YouTube, because we're broadcasting live every single night. And appreciate everybody who's been watching the station YouTube all day long. Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, and now myself. So appreciate everybody for stopping by. Now, I also had a message from the show, I guess it was maybe like an hour ago, let's just say. Maybe less than an hour ago. Doesn't matter. But the message was, do you actually get that mad when Tony beats you in the Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show? And the answer is absolutely yes, because it's ridiculous that that guy can pull out some of the names that no one is thinking, and all of a sudden he pulls them out and he ends up winning the game. I don't know how it happens every time, but it happens every time. There's a theme there. There is a trend there. And I'm not going to accuse Tony of cheating while he's not here, because I don't necessarily think that he's cheating, but it's very strange how he's comes up with stuff. Like the open that we have, Hungary. He said Hungary was Hungary. I mean, come on. Come on! There's some funny business going on there. I'm not going to say that he's cheating, but I will say there's some funny business going on there, in my opinion. All right. So I just got this on my phone a little bit ago, and it's MLB Network ranking the top 10 right fielders right now. And so, of course, I clicked on it, and I went to the list, and I do see a Padre on it. Excuse me, it's never good to have a coughing fit while you're on the air by yourself. Anyway, so there's a list of 10 right fielders, and so I looked, of course. There is a Padre on the list. There's a former Padre on the list, but we're going to go from 10 to 1. Josh Lowe, Tampa Bay, he was unranked last year. He's number 10. Adelis Garcia from the Rangers, he was not ranked last year. He's number 9. Teoscar Hernandez, who now plays for the Dodgers, he stays right there at 8. George Springer moves back a spot with the Blue Jays to number 7 from 6. Seiya Suzuki, Cubs, he was not ranked. He moved all the way up to number 6. Then you have Fernando Tatis Jr., who is number 5. He moved up all the way from number 9, so that makes sense. Corbin Carroll comes out of nowhere, not ranked last year, and all of a sudden he's number 4 in the top right fielders, according to MLB Network. And then you got Juan Soto at number 3. And he was a number 2 left fielder last year. And then Kyle Tucker at number 2 from the Astros, and Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Braves, number 1. I apologize, everyone, because I cannot figure out why I can't stop coughing right now. So you know what? I'm going to play something real quick, and we're going to come back, because I can't keep doing this on the air. So we'll be back here in just a second.
Quinn and Chris on the Fan.
One of the things that came up in that mailbag was the possibility of having to trade Ha-Sung Kim. And I know there might be a riot here in San Diego if the Padres were to ship him. I also know that it seems like on your way to opening day in Korea, that might not be a guy you want to trade, considering, you know, it's kind of a big draw.
Listen to Quinn and Chris weekdays from 2 to 6 on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I think I'm back now. We might have to do that one more time. But, hey, I'm going to push through it. I am here with all of you. I appreciate you staying with me. Dan says Scraby is catching COVID. No, I was fine all show long until, like, maybe the last 10 minutes. For some reason, my voice is going crazy. All right, let's go back to the list, because that's what we want to talk about here. And I would say that Fernando Tatis Jr. is number 5 on the list, but there's no way that Juan Soto is a better outfielder than Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, he might be a better offensive player, and he gets on base all the time and all that stuff. But Fernando, he had a pretty good season last year, and he is in all likelihood going to have a good season this coming year. And I think, and a lot of other people think, that this is going to be an MVP season for him. Juan Soto showed us that he just he's just not as trustworthy in right field defensively than you really would like for him to be, or left field for that matter. But Juan Soto, I don't believe, is the number 3 right fielder on this list. I think he's probably, if anything, you have to flip-flop them. You have to put Fernando at the top, or you have to put Fernando at 3, Juan Soto at 5. Because Juan Soto, number 1, didn't play right field last year, so all of a sudden he's in the right fielder group. And I know he's played right field in his career, but we've seen what Juan Soto can do. And Garcia is chatting, saying that he's one-dimensional, Juan Soto. I don't know about one-dimensional, because I think when you take his offense, there's several different dimensions of his offense. But we definitely did see I guess I'm just going to use this word for lack of a better word, but liability in the outfield. There were plenty of times where we were looking, we were looking for Juan Soto to make a play, and he didn't. And it was a play that ended up costing the game. And there were some base running mistakes as well. So the intangibles, which are the awareness on the field, is not as high as I think it might, as teams might want it to be, or Padres might have wanted it to be while he was here. But I just don't see how he's a better right fielder than Fernando. Fernando won the Platinum Glove in his first season in the position. He also is coming off of a long break from Major League Baseball and handled himself pretty well. And I understand why Juan Soto is the talk of the town, I guess, because he's Juan Soto. Now he's a Yankee, so everybody's got to love him. Everybody's got to push him up to a bigger pedestal. I don't know, that didn't make any sense, but you get what I'm saying. Juan Soto is, I don't want to say anything too drastic, but I feel like Juan Soto is a little bit, he's a little bit overrated. He's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He gets on base all the time, but all that other stuff comes into it too. You got to be able to field. You got to be able to run the bases. And you got to be able to, if you're Juan Soto, you don't have an opportunity to slump, because the team is counting on you for a lot of production, whether that be defensively or offensively. And I think Fernando checks all of those boxes. And he showed us all year long that he was willing to put in the work in right field to become better. And boom, there you go. He wins a Platinum Glove in his first season. And he does it in style. So we're going to have to see what happens with Juan Soto this year. I'm not real sure if he's going to like the New York media and he's going to like what Yankees fans bring day in and day out, because it's, you know, it's a different place. We heard it from Michael King. He said it was a different place. And I fully believe that Juan Soto is more of a guy, and this is without me knowing him, but I feel like he's more of a guy who likes to lay low a little bit. I don't necessarily think that he wants to be the center of attention all the time, which is what he's going to be in New York. So outside of what he does for the Yankees and what the players do for the Padres, that trade to me, I'm just curious to see how Juan Soto handles it. I don't think that Juan Soto is going to have this great year that everybody's expecting him to, because everybody expecting him a great year at the Padres. We all know it took him a little time to get used to the whole trade thing with the Padres. And now he's being traded again, this time before the season, but still, it's still another trade to a different organization, and he has the pressure of a one-year. He's basically got 1 year deal right now for $31 million. He doesn't have anything after this, so he's got to go out and prove that he is a generational player like Ted Williams. I kept hearing his name bantied about with Juan Soto. And so if he is going to be a Ted Williams, he's going to have to show it this year. This year is very important for Juan Soto. Sure, teams know what he can do, but I don't think he's going to get the $500 million that he wanted before he was traded away from the Nationals, and the $400-plus million that he turned down from the Nationals. I just don't think that he's going to get that if he has a poor season. Now, he can make a ton of money if he has a MVP-type season, but it's yet to be seen, and I got to see it happen first. I have to see what is happening before I judge to whether or not I think Juan Soto is going to be a Ted Williams type player, if he deserves over $500 million. My initial thought is no, he doesn't deserve $500 million, because no one does. But if they're giving out contracts like that, Shohei Ohtani, $700 million for his 10 years, that's deferred 680 of it to like 10 years from now. But I'm really gonna have to see why they picked Juan Soto as the better right fielder than Fernando Tatis Jr. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And we got the, in my opinion, the East Coast bias working again, because all of a sudden Juan Soto goes to the New York Yankees and he's again the best player of all time. I don't get it, because we saw Juan Soto play in San Diego for a season and a half, and he was good, and he had great moments. But there were moments, too, where he was someone who cost the game for the Padres, whether it be base running, whether it be errors in the field, whether it be throwing errors, whether it be just kind of just not really paying attention. There were many moments that a Ted Williams-type player cannot have. And so that's what we're going to be watching for going forward here with Juan Soto. But I'm really excited about Michael King and Drew Thorpe and Brito and Vasquez and Higashioka. I'm really excited about all the guys that they got back from the Yankees. I think after talking to Michael King and talking to some other people, you know, I really believe that these guys are a good return for the Padres, and it was the right thing to do to trade Juan Soto, but it's not the right thing to do to trade Ha-Seong Kim. I do not believe that. A random ham. What's up? He says on YouTube, if you go to the Yankees or Dodgers, you immediately become the best player at your position. That is true. That is true. For some reason, the media turns you into some god at your position. R. Garcia again says, maybe not overrated, but definitely overhyped at times, especially when he joins a new team. We saw that. I definitely agree with that. Let's see. Javier says, you're insane, Scraby. Juan Soto is not overrated. I think that he can be overrated just because the bar is so high with Juan Soto. So high that there is an overrated factor to it. And if he's going to change the franchise, the Yankees franchise, if he's going to be the savior, then he needs to do it right out the gate. No time for him to start slow. All right. Let's see. I'm really late on break because I had to take a little break in the middle of that to start coughing. But you are listening to The Scraby Show here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby. You can follow me on social media at Matt Scraby. And when we get back, we're going to have the Daily Gripe. We're also going to talk a little bit about Joey Votto. I told you that before the break, and then I started to get going on Juan Soto. So we'll talk Joey Votto. We'll talk Josh Hader on the other side, plus the Daily Gripe during The Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scraby here with you on The Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. If you missed it, I now am doing 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays after Gwen and Chris. I'm still with Gwen and Chris, if you didn't know, but I'll be here on the days that there's no Padres baseball or football or anything that preempts the 6 to 7 p.m. hour. But when the baseball season starts, I think I'm going to start doing more podcasts just to, you know, keep going with The Scraby Show. So if you are just tuning in, I'm sorry that I was looking through the chat, and one of our members, R. Garcia, is saying that there is a cough going around San Diego, and you are absolutely right. There is a cough going around San Diego. I know my dad's had it for weeks now, and so I don't necessarily think I have the cough because it just started this cough like 25 minutes ago, so I don't know why I am all of a sudden not able to talk, but I think I'm a little bit better, so thanks for sticking with me. Everybody knows Tony Kornheiser, but to get him unfiltered, check out the Tony Kornheiser Show podcast. The iconic voice of PTI is a roller coaster of wit and wisdom. It's smart, it's funny, it's his unique perspective on the sports world. Unleash your curiosity and join the conversation. Follow the Tony Kornheiser Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about Joey Votto real quick because he is on the market. He's not going to be a Cincinnati Red coming up this year. Get this, he was drafted in 2002. I was a junior in high school in 2002. But Joey Votto is 40 years old. He's played 16 years of baseball, and he wants to find another job. And so I went back, you know, because last year there was Matt Carpenter, who wasn't really, you know, doing much for the team. And then he had Nelson Cruz, who did some stuff for the team, but then he was let go. So I'm thinking that, I mean, Nelson Cruz was even let go, and I think he was only making $1 million, which is a lot of money, but for a guy like him, that's not a lot of money. Joey Votto, according to SpotTrack, is his market value is $5.5 million. And I don't know, I'm not sure if $5.5 million is too expensive for him. That seems like it should be right around there. But at the same time, he is 40 years old, so it seems a little steep. I would love Joey Votto on this team. I lived in Cincinnati for a year, and that was in 2010. So he was big time Joey Votto, famous Red, and everybody loved him. And he has a great personality. He's a great teammate, and he's a good person in the community. So I think he would be a great guy to bring in. Now, do I think he's going to change the fortunes of the Padres? Definitely do not think he's going to change the fortunes of the Padres. I don't think that him coming in is going to put them into a different position in the playoffs or even win a World Series if they brought him in. But he does have lots of experience. He has lots of leadership experience, and he is a good clubhouse guy. And I think that the Padres need these good clubhouse guys, and I think the Padres need someone like Joey Votto, who can be a guy that the younger players go and talk to. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a guy who gives back. And he wants to play the game as well, but he also wants to be a guy who is able to kind of be looked at as the old wise man. And so $5.5 million is kind of steep for what we've been seeing the Padres pay so far this offseason, but I think that would be a good investment for the team. And maybe they could even get him for less than $5.5 million. I'm just saying $5.5 million because Spelltrack is usually pretty good with their market value things. And so if he was, he's the 23rd, according to this website, he's the 23rd best first baseman. And so if he's truly that, I say go for it. And he could spell Jake Cronenworth on days that he needs to. I think that Joey Votto would be a good addition to this team. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. You never know. Now, if we talk about Josh Hader, on the other hand, we were talking about how Josh Hader hasn't been able to find deals. And so the free agency for Josh Hader is continuing to be pretty quiet. We've seen him with the Dodgers, and we've seen rumors with the Dodgers, we've seen rumors with a couple of other teams, but according to Bob Nightingale, several GMs predicting that little is going to change unless his price tag drops below 5 years and $100 million. So he's probably looking for, well, we know that he's looking for something that Edwin Diaz got, and Edwin Diaz got that when he wasn't even out on the open market. He got that when he was only able to talk with the Mets. But Josh Hader, he's not getting any looks right now. And I think that has to do with a couple things. Number one, he wants way too much money, and closers just aren't the same paid players that they used to be. I know that some players get paid, but you can definitely make it through with lesser paid players, lesser known names as a closer than having the big name closer like Josh Hader. Teams are probably seeing that they just don't want to deal with a closer who is not going to see the field as much as other positions, and they're going to give him $25 million a year. It's just not something that I think teams are willing to do. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that Josh Hader, the usage issue that we were talking about last year, I feel like that's kind of going to be maybe not his prerogative anymore. He's going to go out there whenever he's needed because this is his last big contract. And don't get me wrong, if I'm Josh Hader, I'm waiting it out, too. I'm waiting out and seeing if I'm going to be able to get a team to pay me over $100 million and if I'm going to be able to get a competing team to pay me over $100 million. I don't know where he's going to find this money, but as Bob Nightingale wrote, it's been eerily quiet on the Josh Hader front, and I 100% agree with that. It's been pretty quiet about a lot of guys this offseason. There's been some big money spent, but there's also been a lot of random middle tier, lower tier signings that haven't really moved the needle at all. Padres, I can't say they're lower tier signings, but they brought guys over from the KBO. They brought guys over from the MPB. So we're going to have to wait and see on that. But it's just not the offseason I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to shape up to be. And then you have Ohtani, $700 million. You get him for 10 years, and $680 of it is deferred. And I'm not complaining about the deferral, but I'm saying that changes a lot. And same with Yoto getting over $300 million. That changes a lot for the pitching market as well. I think some of these teams are just like, why am I going to pay this much money for a pitcher who, you know, might be good, might not be good? And I think that's what Blake Snell is running into right now, is that no one really knows which Blake Snell they're going to get. Are they going to get last year's Blake Snell? Or are they going to get the previous 2 years' Blake Snell? And teams are starting, I think, not banding together, that's not the right word, but they are trying to keep the cost a little bit lower. And the Dodgers going out and spending over $1 billion in free agency is not helping anyone out there. You think the A's can, well, they don't want to compete because John Fisher is not going to spend any money on the team, but you see a team like the A's or the Reds, or even the Reds are spending money, the Tigers, the Royals, they're spending money too. But you, those teams are not going to take on a $240 million pitcher because likely by the end of the contract, they're not going to be able to perform exactly how or what you signed them for. And I would like to be in the position one day when I turn down a contract reportedly of 5 years and $150 million, but that is what Blake Snell was had reportedly turned down from the Yankees. He wants a contract that will pay him at least $240 million. So I think Blake Snell is going to be maybe adjusting his price, or like the guy said earlier, maybe he's just going to sit out the year, which I think would be crazy because you got to capitalize. You got to take what you can get at a certain point. And there's going to be some players accepting contracts that they did not want to accept when the offseason started because they're just not going to get the offers. They want a team. They're going to get brought in. And so they're going to kind of have to, they're going to kind of have to peel back what they want from teams. And so I think Josh Hader, I think Blake Snell are two of those guys that are going to have to maybe loosen a little bit of what they want for their next big contract or their last big contract. Good. Both those guys, Blake Snell and Josh Hader, probably will not be seeing another huge contract again with where they are in their career. So they're looking for a payday. I don't blame them, but I also think that you should probably look around and see what your market value is, and it's not over $240 million. Even if Scott Boras is your agent, it's not over $240 million. I just don't think we'll see it with his age and what he's done in the past outside of this two Cy Young seasons. I just don't see it. All right, Matt Scraby, The Scraby Show here on 97.3 The Fan. We have made it to the end of the hour, but you know what? We have the Daily Gripe, and the Daily Gripe today... Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I have to read this story about the fan, the Dallas Cowboys fan. I told you I would read this. But so this Dallas Cowboys fan is putting out they put out an official statement, and here's how it reads. I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan for 30 years. In that time, I've been blessed to witness Super Bowl wins and also went through some terrible years. I faithfully supported this team despite clearly being cursed by the Jimmy Johnson departure, and never once did I waver. I also know I am not the only one. Despite all of this, the shortcomings and ineptitude of the front office in recent years has caused me to question their commitment to winning. So blah, blah, blah. This is a really long thing, but he ends up saying at the end, it's with great sadness that I am announcing I will no longer be a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I will be taking my talents to Los Angeles as a Chargers fan. Thank you for the memories, and I look forward to the next chapter of my life. Who wants to tell this guy that the Chargers are going to probably break his heart the same way over and over and over and over? So I think it's a little, as Tony would say, rich that this guy went from being a Cowboys fan to a Chargers fan. I don't know how they came about being a Chargers fan, but that is really not real. No one really wants to go from being a Cowboys to a Chargers fan. The Chargers are not the organization you want to look up to, and there's plenty of ineptitude and shortcomings there as well. So I don't know why you're going from Dallas Cowboys to the Chargers, but you did. All right, Daily Gripe here with just a few minutes left here in the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. I would like to say my daily gripe today is something that happened to me over the weekend. And it's people who are, their job is to schedule appointments. But it's when those people don't listen. I get a little angry when I have to repeat myself over and over and over, but you know the people I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like, are you even listening to me? Because I'm not sure that they are. Because I'll say something, and then they'll immediately follow it up with, oh, well, would you like to go Tuesday? And I'm like, no, I just said I can't do Tuesday. So I'm just asking for when I make an appointment for someone to actually listen a little bit instead of being concerned with whatever the heck else they're doing. I just want to get on the phone, make the appointment, get off the phone. But I've been running into this a lot more lately, and it's a lot of customer service people that just don't really care about customer service, even though your job is customer service. That's not what I was getting over the weekend. And the Daily Gripe, this one's not as strong as I would like, but it did irk me over the weekend that I repeat myself. And I actually had to call back and reschedule the appointment because they weren't giving me or even listening to me. All right, that's it for that. Thanks for listening to The Scravey Show. I appreciate everybody who joined me on YouTube, also on the app, the Odyssey app. Gwen and Chris back tomorrow. Marcus McNeil, Rate the Radio Call. And then another Scravey Show from 6 to 7 p.m. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Till tomorrow, I will talk to you soon. Have a good night. Matt Scravey here with you on The Scravey Show, 97.3 The Fan. If you missed it, I now am doing 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays after Gwen and Chris. I'm still with Gwen and Chris, if you didn't know, but I'll be here on the days that there's no Padres baseball or football or anything that preempts the 6 to 7 p.m. hour. But when the baseball season starts, I think I'm gonna start doing more podcasts just to, you know, keep going with The Scravey Show. So if you are just tuning in, I'm sorry that I was looking through the chat, and one of our members, R. Garcia, is saying that there is a cough going around San Diego, and you are absolutely right. There is a cough going around San Diego. I know my dad's had it for weeks now, and so I don't necessarily think I have the cough because it just started this cough like 25 minutes ago, so I don't know why I am all of a sudden not able to talk, but I think I'm a little bit better, so thanks for sticking with me. Everybody knows Tony Kornheiser, but to get him unfiltered, check out the Tony Kornheiser Show podcast. The iconic voice of PTI is a roller coaster of wit and wisdom. It's smart, it's funny, it's his unique perspective on the sports world. Unleash your curiosity and join the conversation. Follow the Tony Kornheiser Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about Joey Votto real quick because he is on the market. He's not going to be a Cincinnati Red coming up this year. Get this, he was drafted in 2002. I was a junior in high school in 2002. But Joey Votto is 40 years old. He's played 16 years of baseball, and he wants to find another job. And so I went back, you know, because last year there was Matt Carpenter, who wasn't really, you know, doing much for the team. And then he had Nelson Cruz, who did some stuff for the team, but then he was let go. So I'm thinking that, I mean, Nelson Cruz was even let go, and I think he was only making $1 million, which is a lot of money, but for a guy like him, that's not a lot of money. Joey Votto, according to SpotTrack, is his market value is $5.5 million. And I don't know, I'm not sure if $5.5 million is too expensive for him. That seems like it should be right around there. But at the same time, he is 40 years old, so it seems a little steep. I would love Joey Votto on this team. I lived in Cincinnati for a year, and that was in 2010. So he was big-time Joey Votto, famous Red, and everybody loved him. And he has a great personality. He's a great teammate, and he's a good person in the community. So I think he would be a great guy to bring in. Now, do I think he's going to change the fortunes of the Padres? Definitely do not think he's going to change the fortunes of the Padres. I don't think that him coming in is going to put them into a different position in the playoffs or even win a World Series if they brought him in. But he does have lots of experience. He has lots of leadership experience, and he is a good clubhouse guy. And I think that the Padres need these good clubhouse guys, and I think the Padres need someone like Joey Votto who can be a guy that the younger players go and talk to. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be a guy who gives back, and he wants to play the game as well. But he also wants to be a guy who is able to kind of be looked at as the old wise man. And so $5.5 million is kind of steep for what we've been seeing the Padres pay so far this offseason, but I think that would be a good investment for the team. And maybe they could even get him for less than $5.5 million. I'm just saying $5.5 million because SpellTrack is usually pretty good with their market value things. And so if he was, he's the 23rd, according to this website, he's the 23rd best first baseman. And so if he's truly that, I say go for it. And he could spell Jake Cronenworth on days that he needs to. I think that Joey Votto would be a good addition to this team. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but you never know. You never know. Now, if we talk about Josh Hader, on the other hand, we were talking about how Josh Hader hasn't been able to find deals. And so the free agency for Josh Hader is continuing to be pretty quiet. We've seen him with the Dodgers, and we've seen rumors with the Dodgers, we've seen rumors with a couple of other teams, but according to Bob Nightingale, several GMs predicting that little is going to change unless his price tag drops below 5 years and $100 million. So he's probably looking for, well, we know that he's looking for something that Edwin Diaz got, and Edwin Diaz got that when he wasn't even out on the open market. He got that when he was only able to talk with the Mets. But Josh Hader, he's not getting any looks right now. And I think that has to do with a couple things. Number one, he wants way too much money, and closers just aren't the same paid players that they used to be. I know that some players get paid, but you can definitely make it through with lesser paid players, lesser known names as a closer than having the big name closer like Josh Hader. Teams are probably seeing that they just don't want to deal with a closer who is not going to see the field as much as other positions, and they're going to give him $25 million a year. It's just not something that I think teams are willing to do. I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that Josh Hader, the usage issue that we were talking about last year. I feel like that's kind of going to be maybe not his prerogative anymore. He's going to go out there whenever he's needed because this is his last big contract. And don't get me wrong, if I'm Josh Hader, I'm waiting it out, too. I'm waiting out and seeing if I'm going to be able to get a team to pay me over $100 million and if I'm going to be able to get a competing team to pay me over $100 million. I don't know where he's going to find this money, but as Bob Nightingale wrote, it's been eerily quiet on the Josh Hader front, and I 100% agree with that. It's been pretty quiet about a lot of guys this offseason. There's been some big money spent, but there's also been a lot of random middle-tier, lower-tier signings that haven't really moved the needle at all. Padres, I can't say they're lower-tier signings, but they brought guys over from the KBO. They brought guys over from the MPB. So we're going to have to wait and see on that, but it's just not the offseason I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to shape up to be. And then you have Ohtani, $700 million. You get him for 10 years, and $680 of it is deferred. And I'm not complaining about the deferral, but I'm saying that changes a lot. And same with Yoto getting over $300 million. That changes a lot for the pitching market as well. I think some of these teams are just like, why am I going to pay this much money for a pitcher who, you know, might be good, might not be good? And I think that's what Blake Snell is running into right now, is that no one really knows which Blake Snell they're going to get. Are they going to get last year's Blake Snell? Or are they going to get the previous 2 years Blake Snell? And teams are starting, I think, not banding together, that's not the right word, but they are trying to keep the cost a little bit lower. And the Dodgers going out and spending over $1 billion of free agency is not helping anyone out there. You think the A's can, they don't want to compete because John Fisher is not going to spend any money on the team, but you see a team like the A's or the Reds, or even the Reds are spending money, the Tigers, the Royals, they're spending money too. But those teams are not going to take on a $240 million pitcher because likely by the end of the contract, they're not going to be able to perform exactly how or what you signed them for. And I would like to be in the position one day when I turn down a contract reportedly of 5 years and $150 million, but that is what Blake Snell had reportedly turned down from the Yankees. He wants a contract that will pay him at least $240 million. So I think Blake Snell is going to be maybe adjusting his price, or like the guy said earlier, maybe he's just going to sit out the year, which I think would be crazy because you got to capitalize. You got to take what you can get at a certain point. And there's going to be some players accepting contracts that they did not want to accept when the offseason started because they're just not going to get the offers. They want a team. They're going to get brought in. And so they're going to kind of have to peel back what they want from teams. And so I think Josh Hader, I think Blake Snell are two of those guys that are going to have to maybe loosen a little bit of what they want for their next big contract or their last big contract. Good, both those guys, Blake Snell and Josh Hader, probably will not be seeing another huge contract again with where they are in their career. So they're looking for a payday. I don't blame them, but I also think that you should probably look around and see what your market value is, and it's not over $240 million. Even if Scott Boras is your agent, it's not over $240 million. I just don't think we'll see it with his age and what he's done in the past outside of this two Cy Young seasons. I just don't see it. All right, Matt Scraby, The Scraby Show here on 97.3 The Fan. We have made it to the end of the hour, but you know what? We have the Daily Gripe, and the Daily Gripe today... Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I have to read this story about the fan, the Dallas Cowboys fan. I told you I would read this. So this Dallas Cowboys fan is putting out they put out an official statement, and here's how it reads. I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan for 30 years. In that time, I've been blessed to witness Super Bowl wins and also went through some terrible years. I faithfully supported this team despite clearly being cursed by the Jimmy Johnson departure, and never once did I waver. I also know I am not the only one. Despite all of this, the shortcomings and ineptitude of the front office in recent years has caused me to question their commitment to winning. So blah, blah, blah. This is a really long thing, but he ends up saying at the end, it's with great sadness that I am announcing I will no longer be a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I will be taking my talents to Los Angeles as a Chargers fan. Thank you for the memories, and I look forward to the next chapter of my life. Who wants to tell this guy that the Chargers are going to probably break his heart the same way over and over and over and over? So I think it's a little, as Tony would say, rich that this guy went from being a Cowboys fan to a Chargers fan. I don't know how they came about being a Chargers fan, but that is really not... no one really wants to go from being a Cowboys to a Chargers fan. The Chargers are not the organization you want to look up to, and there's plenty of ineptitude and shortcomings there as well. So I don't know why you're going from Dallas Cowboys to the Chargers, but you did. All right, Daily Gripe here with just a few minutes left here in the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. I would like to say my Daily Gripe today is something that happened to me over the weekend. And it's people who are, their job is to schedule appointments. But it's when those people don't listen. I get a little angry when I have to repeat myself over and over and over. But you know the people I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like, are you even listening to me? Because I'm not sure that they are. Because I'll say something, and then they'll immediately follow it up with, oh, well, would you like to go Tuesday? And I'm like, no, I just said I can't do Tuesday. So I'm just asking for when I make an appointment for someone to actually listen a little bit instead of being concerned with whatever the heck else they're doing. I just want to get on the phone, make the appointment, get off the phone. But I've been running into this a lot more lately, and it's a lot of customer service people that just don't really care about customer service, even though your job is customer service. That's not what I was getting over the weekend. And the Daily Gripe, this one's not as strong as I would like, but it did irk me over the weekend that I repeat myself. And I actually had to call back and reschedule the appointment because they weren't giving me or even listening to me. All right, that's it for that. Thanks for listening to The Scraby Show. I appreciate everybody who joined me on YouTube, also on the app, the Odyssey app. Gwen and Chris back tomorrow. Marcus McNeil, Rate the Radio Call, and then another Scraby Show from 6 to 7 p.m. Thank you to everyone in the chat. Till tomorrow, I will talk to you soon. Have a good night.